McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Traherne?
Let's see, it's your, hold on a second, let's see if you can call.
And the yellow eye.
Go ahead and see, we'll let him vote.
Hillary?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Burrows?
Aye.
And Troop?
Aye, motion's adopted. Representative Hugo, would you please carry Senate Bill 19 on the floor of the House? Representative Hostica, would you please carry House Bill 2229? The next item on our agenda this morning is Senate Bill 181.
Representative Hanlon and Steve will carry the...
Okay, Representative Hanlon, do you want to proceed or Steve?
Yes.
Representative Hanlon.
Senate Bill 181, as it came from the Senate, covered two areas. Number one, it permits the Department of Revenue to accept credit card payment on delinquent taxes. And number two, it allows the department to assess a penalty for some receiving a check or an NSF check or other payment more than once. The form that came over from the Senate in was a minimum penalty of $100 and maximum of $500. We amended that to make the minimum penalty $25 rather than $100. The other part of this bill that the Revenue Department has requested is allowing inheritance and gift tax to be collected, the same collection techniques to be used in that area that are presently used in collection of income tax. And I would note that is probably not a major impact since we are in the process of phasing out inheritance and gift tax in the state of Oregon. But they did ask for similar powers as they have in income tax cases. So those are the two major areas that 181 deals with, and the sole amendment we offered was minimum penalty 25 instead of 100.
Good. Steve, could you give us a little additional clarification on the inheritance and gift tax question, possibly a little history, when the phase-out will be completed, and specifically, according to your information, why this change is being requested to the legislature in front?
The phase-out occurs in 87, but the department will still has 85 and 86, of course, for collections, and then any collections that carry over after the phase-out period for prior taxes due. What they're doing here is trying to make the collection of inheritance and gift taxes basically follow the same process as income taxes, where they can use a warrant process for attaching, putting liens on property for collection purposes, rather than having to do it, I believe, through a court process now. As far as the background, I guess I really need some help from the department on.
We have Bruce Landon, who signed up to testify from the Department of Revenue. Bruce, please come forward. Are there any other members of the audience that wish to testify on Senate Bill 181 this morning? Please come up and join him. I think there's little question regarding credit card, regarding the penalty. I think most of the question centers around the inheritance and gift tax issue from the department's perspective. We're in the last couple of years of inheritance and gift, even though there will be some ongoing responsibilities after that. Why this change at this time? Why is it necessary?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Bruce Loudon from the Collection Division, and with me is Verlina Crosley from the Audit Division.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'll take that question. I had a person that actually works in that program here, and he had to leave, but I'll do my best. Apparently, there's about 25 cases so far that we would normally collect under the normal provisions of warrant authority, meaning we just have to record at the courthouse the lien, and then we could go against the person's bank accounts, et cetera. The current method, however, we have to go to the court to get the lien filed instead of just recording it. And this is from the people that work in that program. They say it's an extremely costly process for them to go to the court to get that, and they have not been doing it because of the cost, except on very large amounts. So on the smaller amounts, and I understand that's about 25 cases, or at least under 25 cases, that we would be looking at using the warrant authority currently on, and that would streamline the process significantly for us. The reason why we're bringing it now is because we brainstormed certain concepts to bring to the legislature. It would help us in that phase out of that program to collect those amounts more effectively and efficiently.
Sounds reasonable to me. Discussion, questions by committee members? I guess four of the committee members have already been through it thoroughly. The rest of us, Representative Hostica?
I guess this isn't a question on the inheritance gift tax. Representative Gloria, I have the same concern here about when you use credit cards. Does the department pay the fee? Is that a budgeted item for the department, or is it
no big problem?
We'll go up. What happens?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hanlon?
If I might just at least cue in on the discussion, if I recall it correctly, well, the department will, in essence, take the discounted amount and pay the fee. And I think it was a balance, as the testimony was presented to us, that our four committee members went along with, was the fact that you have delinquent accounts. And rather than approaching those accounts where one might have to hire other processes and cost a lot more, the option of taking a credit card was an option that they were, in essence, policy-wise, willing to pay the price for. That was the discussion I recall as it occurred, and the two of you might want to comment further on responding to his question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon, that is correct. What the fee would run is we're anticipating, based on historical information from other state agencies which are now using Visa for payment of delinquent liabilities, that they anticipate that 1% of their liabilities are paid through bank cards. And by doing this based on the personal income tax and the other agency account program, it would be approximately $20,000 per year, which would be offset by savings that we would have of our revenue agent's time.
Before we proceed forward with this, Representative Trahern was excused for a few minutes and missed the vote on Senate Bill 190. I'd like to ask unanimous consent of the committee to allow him to cast his vote on Senate Bill 190. Is there an objection? Tilda, would you call Representative Trahern's name for vote on Senate Bill 190,
please? Trahern, please look.
Okay.
Please watch.
Representative Trahern.
Aye.
Thank you. Further questions on Senate Bill 181, Representative Corey?
Just a further one on the one we were just discussing, and that was whether any consideration was given to adding a compensating surcharge on top. So, in other words, if it's a 4% rate that the state would have to pay or whatever it is, then you know what would be wrong with saying if you choose to use your card, that's fine, it's very convenient for us and you, and it'll be 104% of the charge.
Representative Clary, federal law prohibits us from doing that. We cannot pass that fee on to the debtor.
Any further discussion? Any further comments to provide on the bill? Thank you very much. Representative Hanlon, how do you wish to proceed here? See, first of all, you need to make a recommendation on the amendment, I assume.
Mr. Chair, the subcommittee, well, on behalf of the subcommittee, I would move the 181-3 amendment. Is that
correct?
Is that a proper vote?
Yes. Representative, I don't have that -3 amendment.
It's two lines. Basically, it says delete 100 on the first page of the bill, line 23. we have to do so. And insert $25.
Here, those amendments, have those been distributed? It's not in my book.
They should have been with the bill.
No.
Not there.
Okay.
They are printed up, dated 3/15/85 by Legislative Council.
Okay, looking at the bill, page 1, line 23, the $100 figure is changed to 25. That would be the effect of the amendments.
That's correct.
Representative Hanlon moves that change on line 23 of Senate Bill 181. Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Representatives Hugo?
Overage.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahern?
Aye.
Kaluri?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hostica?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move SB 181 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 181 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Trahern?
I apologize for not being here for all the discussion. Was there any discussion at all on the removal of the six-year limit for the collection of inheritance taxes in that portion of the bill?
Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, except in general terms, the purpose of the removal of the six-year limitation went along with the department's request that collection of inheritance and gift taxes procedures should be analogous and substantially the same as those presently in law to collect income taxes.
We have the person from the department that is the specialist in this area who has returned. If you want to follow that up, let's see, who is it? Please come forward and introduce yourself for the record. Sorry, I don't have your name on the tip of my tongue.
I'm Richard Dumit, Department of Audit Division, Estate Audit Unit, Department of Revenue.
Representative Trahern?
Mr. Dumit, why should we not have a six-year limitation on the collection of inheritance and gift taxes?
Well, Representative Trahern, the present law is that after, once the gift or inheritance tax is assessed and we're unable to collect because we're unable to file a lien against property, the procedure is to file an action in the tax court to get a judgment. And once we have a judgment, then we have the force of a lien and we can put that against property. But we have 6 years in which to do that, and it's a costly procedure, requires court action instead of a simple transfer to warrant like we have for the other types of taxes that the Department of Revenue administers.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Trahern?
Mayor, are those court actions ever opposed by the taxpayer?
Yes, not often. We don't often go to tax court for this because we don't like the cumbersome procedure. But we have to watch and be careful over the six-year period to make sure that we collect the tax in some manner or other. But we're not able to put a lien against property, so the tax is unsecured.
Mr.
Chair. Chief Trahern?
When those are, let me back up. What other options, once that inheritance or gift tax has been assessed, what other options does the taxpayer have for appeal of that assessment?
He has the same options as you do for income tax. Once the tax is, first there's the proposed assessment, and the taxpayer has 30 days in which to protest, and he has to be granted a conference within 1 year. And an assessment has to be made within 1 year, so the conference has to be heard in time to allow for the assessment. Once the assessment goes out, the taxpayer has 90 days in which to appeal for a hearing. And after they have a hearing, then the only other way for us to collect if the taxpayer is, refuses to pay or is unable to pay would be to seek to get the authority or the power to put a lien against property. And presently, the only way to do that is to go to court to get a judgment.
Yeah, it is.
And for other tax programs, all we have to do is transfer the assessment to warrant and look for property to put the lien against. So they have the same processes of appeal that under this new arrangement that they would have for income tax purposes.
Representative Trahern, further questions, or are you ready to turn to discussion?
Would your, by removing the limitation and not requiring you to go through the court procedure, would you then be allowed to put that warrant in lien against any property that the taxpayer owns, where when you go to court, you can only put it on the property that was inherited? Is there a difference there?
It would, yes, it would be to secure the payment of the tax. It would be, we'd have the authority to go place the lien upon any property that was owned by the successor in interest to the inherited property.
One more, Mr. Chairman.
Jim Trahern, that's fine.
Under the present system, where you have to go through the court procedure, does that only apply then to the property that was inherited?
No, it would apply in the same manner. It would be lienable against any property owned by the successor in interest once we have a judgment.
Further questions? Thank you very much. Before we take the vote on the motion, further discussion? Chief Trahern?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to delete section 13.
Okay.
That portion.
Let's see, let's find the bill. Correction. Mr. Chairman, I couldn't hear what section. Representative Trahern moved to amend the main motion to delete section 13 prior to sending the measure to the floor for the pass.
Mr. Chair, question to staff first.
Representative Trahern?
Yeah. Steve, is section 13 the portion that removes the 6-year limitation on inheritance tax?
Right. Do you have Senate Bill 181?
Yeah.
Be engrossed?
Yeah.
Section 13. Oh, excuse me, down at the bottom. The 6-year limit provision is in section 4.
Okay. Well,
let's
amend that.
Yeah, let's.
That's why I was trying to find
out. Friendly amendment, Representative Trahern. Where are the provisions that speak to the 6-year limit? Where is that addressed in the bill?
Page 2, section 4, the sub 2, beginning in lines 13 and following.
Okay.
Now, if that is deleted, I think that some other other sections of the bill may have to be reworded to accommodate that.
Okay, I think what I'd like to do is not to move on the bill. If I could ask Representative Hanlon to withdraw his motion, I think my preference would be to have staff come back and present the Representative Trahern amendments to us in the morning so we can look at what the bill would be like with the 6-year limitation in, and then the deletion of that limitation, so we see exactly what language would be required to affect the motion to amend. So if we could just...
I will withdraw.
Okay, withdraw both motions.
Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate that. I, frankly, not being on that subcommittee, I've not really had a chance to study this issue.
Okay. Let's do take a hard look at it and be ready to move on it tomorrow if we could. See, it's now about 3 minutes away from floor session. Unless the committee wants to stay here and work until noon, we could always adjourn until tomorrow.
I vote for that.
Okay. By the way, let me remind the committee that both subcommittees will be operating on Thursday. So we'll meet tomorrow and Friday in full committee. Is there anything else come forward?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hostica.
I'd like to announce on that that I have, for the subcommittee on property tax, I have thought that some of us would be away on a trip that has been canceled. We'll be meeting on Thursday. I've also then asked that Senate or House Bill 2488, I believe it is, be put on as a possible work session for Thursday. That's the one that has to do with if the Board of Equalization sets an amount, that amount is carried.
Good.
We will continue our work on making policy decisions as we talk about reconnecting to the 1984 federal tax code.
Would like to thank both subcommittees too. They're operating exactly as intended and doing beautifully. Thank you very much. The question was how much work could get done in those subcommittees and how much would be required to bring the full committee. And I'm very pleased with the amount of decision making that's been able to transpire in sub. So thanks.